Well, tonight I thought we would look at some Bible prophecies from the Old Testament, and specifically from the book of Genesis. You know, Genesis is the book of the Bible that tells us about the beginnings of things. We see the beginning of the world, the beginning of humanity, the beginning of the animal kingdom, the plant kingdom. We see the beginning of nations. We see the beginning of the nation of Israel in the book of Genesis. And so there are many things the book of Genesis has, and one of the first things that's discussed in the book of Genesis is the fall of man, and then God's promise that he is going to correct the errors that man has chosen to commit. So we'll look at three prophecies from the book of Genesis, and we're just going to title this lesson, All the Families of the Earth Will Be Blessed, because these three prophecies in particular are what we call messianic prophecies. They are prophecies regarding the coming Messiah. And on this side of the cross today, we know that the Messiah is Jesus. And so when we look at these three prophecies and remember that these prophecies were given thousands and thousands of years ago, 4,000 years ago in the case of some of them, then we will understand, and maybe even farther than that in the case of others, but we will understand that God has been working to bring about the fulfillment of these prophecies. And these are great testimonies as to the accuracy and the truthfulness of the Bible. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, we read this, knowing this verse, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation or private origination, some translations say. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The book of Genesis was penned by Moses. And so everything in the book of Genesis, although it contains a historical record that is much older than Moses, Moses is the one who assembled it or wrote it down into one book. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Those are all the books of Moses. And Moses was a prophet. And God worked through Moses then. He inspired Moses with the Holy Spirit to write these things down. God knows the future before it's going to happen. To him, the future is already done. And so God is able then to inspire these prophets to write about future events, to write what's going to happen in the future. And these prophecies then are fulfilled, many of them, within the Bible itself. And we see their fulfillment in the life of Jesus Christ. So we're going to look at three of these. We're going to look at God's prophecy to the serpent, which is in Genesis 3 and verse 15. We're going to look at God's prophecy to Abraham, which is in Genesis 12, verses 1 and 2. And then we'll look at God's prophecy to Judah, and that is in Genesis chapter 49. And we'll see how all of these are related to Jesus as the Messiah. So first of all, let's turn to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. And just a little background here. Genesis chapter 3, you remember at the beginning of the chapter, it says that the serpent was more subtle than all the other beasts of the field. And the serpent then came to Eve and to the woman and said, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And tempted her, right, to eat of that tree of knowledge of good and evil. Of course, she said, no, of every tree we may eat except for this one. And the serpent tempted her and said, well, you're not going to die if you eat it, even though God said you would. But he said, you will not die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And so The Bible says that when she saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And so they then violated the will of God by eating of that fruit. Well, God discovered that they had eaten of that fruit, and then he pronounced a curse upon them as a result. Look at Genesis 3 and verse 14. So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life." And then verse 15 is the key verse that we want to look at. "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." So that is a prophecy right there. That's something that God is saying, this is going to happen in the future as a result of this curse on the serpent. "I will put enmity between you and the woman." Well, many people look at this and say, well, this is a prophecy regarding mankind's distrust of snakes. And, you know, that's certainly true that people distrust snakes. We're not combating that or disputing that at all. And it would seem that, you see, the prophecy talks about between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, he, that is the seed of the woman, shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. You see, that's kind of what happens, right? When snakes come along, they bite you, and they bruise your heel, but then what does a man do in retaliation for that? They reach down and smack the serpent on the head and kill it, right? Well, that's kind of the gist here, but there's a deeper meaning to this prophecy. The prophecy is not just about the surface sort of meaning of this. There's more to it. Remember who is behind this temptation, right? This serpent isn't just a serpent. This serpent is the devil. This serpent is Satan. And he is the one who had tempted Eve. He was the one who put the temptation before her so that she would then eat and sin against God. And so this promise here, this prophecy here in verse 15, isn't just about the serpent itself. It's about Satan and how God then is going to make Satan into mankind's enemy, and how the seed of woman is going to bruise the head of Satan. And Satan's going to get his licks in, and he is going to cause trouble for mankind, but ultimately he is going to lose the fight and God is going to prevail. And of course, we ask the question, how did that happen? How is it that Satan's head was bruised? And of course, we find that fulfillment within Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God, was also born of a woman, right? Galatians chapter 4 tells us that. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. And being born of a woman, he is then the seed of the woman. Well, when Jesus came to the earth, Satan tried to tempt Jesus away from God, but Jesus didn't give in to his temptations. And so Satan thought, well, if I can't get him on my side, then I'll kill him. And he used all of his power and influence over the people of that day and time to put Jesus on the cross. But of course, we know that that didn't stop Jesus, that he was innocent. And because he was innocent, God raised him up from the dead. And so it may have looked like Satan achieved a measure of success, but his success was only temporary. And ultimately, God prevailed over him and crushed his head. Isaiah 53 and verse 10 actually makes reference to this bruising that is being discussed here in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. It says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And so, yes, Satan bruised the heel of Jesus, but ultimately Jesus bruised Satan's head. Acts 2 and verses 23 and 24, Peter talks about Jesus' great triumph here. He says, him, that is Jesus, being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. And so we have here in Genesis 3 and verse 15, the first great messianic prophecy. Not a prophecy about man's relationship with snakes, right? Even though it does apply, but a prophecy about how God was going to overcome and defeat Satan in his efforts to try to hurt mankind and keep him from being with God. All right, well, let's move on to the next prophecy in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. Genesis chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. And this is the call of Abram. And you may remember that Abram lived in the land of Ur, the Chaldees, right? And God called Abram to come away from his home and his family and to go to a place that the Lord would show him. And so we have here in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, these words. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, I want you to notice that particular expression. All the families of the earth shall be blessed in you, in through Abram, who would then become Abraham, right? Now, this prophecy was made some 2,000 years before Christ. And God promised several things to Abram. He promised that he would make him a great nation. He would bless him. He would make his name great. He would be a blessing. And then he would bless those who blessed him and curse those who cursed him. But then this last part, all the families of the earth shall be blessed in him. You know, that prophecy didn't come true until long after the nation of Israel had been on the earth. So that prophecy couldn't have been fulfilled just in the nation of Israel itself. Other prophecies were, but that one, all the families of the earth shall be blessed, didn't occur until much later. Well, how is that prophecy then fulfilled? This prophecy is also repeated in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 18, and Genesis 22 and verse 18. And there's more to this prophecy also. It was given to Isaac, Genesis 26 and verse 4. It was repeated to Jacob as well, Genesis 28 and verse 14. The psalmist sings about this prophecy in Psalm 72. Listen to verse 17 of that psalm. His name shall endure forever. His name shall continue as long as the sun. All men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. And Psalm 72 is another one of these messianic psalms of prophecy about Jesus. And so all men shall be blessed in him. That's the ongoing nature of this prophecy. See, even in the time of David, this prophecy was not yet considered to be fulfilled. Isaiah, again, in Isaiah 53 and verse 10, makes reference to the seed of this prophecy. In thy seed, or in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed, or all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. And Isaiah says, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall profit in his hand. So this prophecy about the seed of Abram, and in that seed, all the families and all the nations of the earth would be blessed. How is that prophecy fulfilled in Jesus Christ? Peter again tells us in Acts chapter 3 and verses 25 and 26, he says, "You are the sons of the prophets." And he's talking to the people in his day and time. "You are the sons of the prophet and of the covenant." Now that word covenant is key there because it's referring back here to Genesis chapter 12. "And to the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham." And what does Peter quote here in Acts chapter 3? He quotes Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3. "Saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Now, Peter's going to tell us how that prophecy is fulfilled right now here in Acts chapter 3. "To you first," that is to you Jews first, "God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning everyone away from his iniquities." So Jesus was sent to bless everyone, to turn us away from our sins and to give us forgiveness of sins. And ultimately, all the nations of the world are blessed because of Jesus Christ. Now think about this. This is a fantastic prophecy. Think about this. God, way back there, 2,000 years before Christ was even born, said that in your seed, before Abram even had any children. Remember, Sarah was barren, and it took a miracle from God in order for them to have a child. But they finally did have one, Isaac. And it was through Isaac then, and Jacob, and Jacob's 12 sons, and through Judah, who we're going to talk about in a minute here, that Jesus Christ then came into the world. And because of that, every single nation in the world has been blessed somehow, some way, because of Jesus Christ. Now think about that prophecy and the fulfillment of it and how God knew beforehand what was going to happen. Galatians chapter 3 and verses 13 and 14, Paul writes this: "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree.'" Why? Why did Christ do that? That the blessing of Abraham, the blessing of Abraham, that's what Genesis 12 is about, the blessing of Abraham, might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So that's the promise of the Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit, right? Because the Holy Spirit, as we read earlier, 2 Peter 1, verse 20 and 21, was the one who gave the message to the prophets in the Old Testament. The promise of the Spirit through faith. We, Gentiles, might receive that. And by receiving it, all the families of the earth are blessed. And he says in verse 16 of Galatians 3, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made." He does not say, "and to seeds as of many," but "as of one." "And to your seed, who is Christ." So you see, Paul identifies for us who the seed of Abraham is that is going to bless all the nations of the world, and that seed is Christ. Now, how could God make a promise like that to Abraham 2,000 years ago? If a man had made a promise like that and said, "You know what? 4,000 years into the future, 4,000 years, every single nation on this world is going to be blessed because of you, because of one person." Why, families come into and go out of existence all the time. Family lines end. How would God know that this particular family line would persist? Well, he knew because he was the one who was going to make it happen. And he knew because he knew what the future was going to be. And he gave that prophecy to Abraham and fulfilled it. And we are recipients of that prophecy today, being blessed through Jesus Christ. What a remarkable prophecy that is even being fulfilled yet today, because of Jesus. Well, let's look at a third prophecy now in the book of Genesis, and we're going to flip over a few chapters to Genesis chapter 49. And the background of this prophecy is that, you know, Jacob and his family had been saved by Joseph. Joseph brought them all to Egypt where there was plenty of food, and now Jacob and the other sons of Jacob are living in Egypt, and they're able to sustain their family because of Joseph's good work. And Jacob is on his deathbed. And as was the case in many times, in the Bible, that when the family patriarch was about to pass away, he would give a blessing to his children. And these blessings often took the form of prophecy. And so we see a prophecy here in Genesis 49 and verses 8 through 12 regarding one of Jacob's children. And that child that he prophesies about is Judah. All right? One of his sons, Judah. And Judah is the son through whom Jesus came. All right? So let's think about this prophecy here. Genesis 49, 8 through 12. He says, Judah, you are he whom your brothers shall praise. Excuse me. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's children shall bow down before you. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He bows down. He lies down as a lion. And as a lion, who shall rouse him? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes. And to him shall be the obedience of the people, binding his donkey to the vine and his donkey's colt to the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes are darker than wine and his teeth whiter than milk. All right. So there's a lot in that prophecy. We're not going to deal with every single phrase, but we are going to note some key things about this prophecy about not just Judah, but Judah's offspring, right? Because basically, you know, this is a prophecy about what's going to happen in the future and what is going to come of Judah's tribe. And so Judah, you know, first of all, he's going to be one whom his brothers praise, verse 8 says. His father's children, and think about who his father is. His father is Jacob, right? And so his father's children are his other brothers. They are going to do what? They're going to bow down before you. Well, they weren't bowing down before Judah right then. Who were they bowing down before? It was Joseph they were bowing down before right then. So you see, this isn't talking about the present day. It's talking about the future. What will happen later on? Notice that the scepter shall not depart from Judah. Verse 10. What was the scepter? That is the kingly office, right? Kings hold scepters. And so it will be through Judah that the kings of Israel will be established. And the scepter won't depart from them, and nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes. The word Shiloh means peace in the ancient Hebrew. And to him shall the obedience of the people be. And so when Shiloh comes, the man of peace, all the people are going to obey him. And he is going to be an interesting person. But of significance is that his garments are going to be washed in wine and his clothes in the blood of grapes. And what does that mean? All right. So let's think about that for just a moment. So, you know, thinking about this, first of all, we see that Judah was not a king, but that a king was going to come. And the king is, of course, David and the line of David's children. Shiloh, an ancient word for peace. And again, this has reference to Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace. And notice that the wine or the blood of grapes, he's going to wash his garments in them. And that is a symbol of blood, grapes, and the juice that comes from the grapes is a symbol of blood. And so his garments would show bloodshed. And that's a very specific prophecy, you know, regarding Judah's descendants. So how was this prophecy fulfilled? Well, first of all, in Romans chapter 1, verse 5, we read Paul's words. He writes these words, through him, that is through Jesus, we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. So obedience to the faith. What is the faith about? It's about Jesus Christ. And so who are we being obedient to? We're being obedient to Jesus. Well, who is Jesus? He is the child, ultimately, of Judah. And what was going to be the relationship of the others to him? They were going to be obedient to him. And that's what one of the prophecies was here about Judah. Notice, to him shall be the obedience of the people, verse 10. But then notice also the scepter, the scepter image. In Hebrews 1, in verses 8 and 9, the writer of the book of Hebrews quotes from the Psalms, but he mentions this scepter. He says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companion. This is said to the Son, the Hebrew writer points out. To the Son, he says, and this is a prophecy about Jesus being the King. And notice that his garments would be dipped in wine or the blood of grapes, which is symbolic of blood. In Revelation 19, verse 13, pictures Jesus like this. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. So these prophecies ultimately have their fulfillment in Jesus Christ. Well, how did Jacob know that all these things would take place to Judah's descendants? Well, only through the power of God did he know those things. Only because he was inspired of the Holy Spirit did he speak those words, and they were fulfilled then ultimately in Jesus Christ. And so three great prophecies in the book of Genesis. All of these prophecies, of course, fall into line to show that through Jesus, all the families of the earth will be blessed. God's prophecy to the serpent. And you're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to bruise your head. And the prophecy then stating how Jesus would be victorious over Satan. God's prophecy to Abraham, that in thy seed all the families of the earth would be blessed. And that through Jesus Christ we've received forgiveness of sins and instruction on how to live our lives. And so we are blessed. Every single nation on the earth has been blessed because of Jesus Christ. And that prophecy was made way back there in Genesis chapter 12. And then God's prophecies to Judah regarding how all would be obedient to Jesus, that all would recognize him as the Prince of Peace, and that his throne would be forever, and that he would be dipped, his clothing would be dipped in the blood of grapes, indicating the blood that he would shed for the sins of the world. And so tonight, we invite you to come to Jesus, because he is the one about whom these prophecies were uttered. And we encourage you to render obedience to the plan of Jesus Christ. To him, the obedience of the people will be. And we need to obey him. Think about what Jesus said in order to become a child of God. He said, you've got to hear the word of God and believe it. Repent of your sins, confess him as Lord, and be baptized for the remission of sins. And then you too can be blessed in Jesus Christ, along with all of the nations of the world who have rendered obedience to him. So tonight, if you would like to take that action, we're ready to help you. Or maybe you'd like the prayers of the church this evening for something that you need help with within your life. Whatever your need may be, you can come make it known now while we stand and while we sing.